Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 138 of DM Discussions, the podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Buckhopper. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I am here.
Excellent. As am I.
Yay. I think that's a really good start because at that point, really, we can go up or down, but talking to you and hanging out and having fun, that's only going to make it go up. So yeah, I'm going from being here to fantastic time by the end of this.
Excellent. Well, we can forget the real world for the next hour or so and dive in to the world of tabletop RPGs, where we have a lot of really fun stuff to talk about. First of which will be a little bit of news. And I think we covered this quite a while ago in a community content shout out, this first piece.
Yes.
This, so for those who haven't heard, there's this really cool map making program called Dungeon Alchemist. This was a Kickstarter. It's like, it can help you generate maps very quickly with a wide variety of locations and tools and set dressing and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, basically you have a nice big grid for a map, and then you just kind of drag your cursor around for different sizes of rooms, and you can put set themes to them and they connect and decorate with the floors and appropriate items that you'd find it. So you choose bedroom and it has a bed and a cabinet and, other stuff. Choose bathroom and there's a hole to do your business in and a bucket or something. Choose a kitchen and then you have a butcher board and meat on the table and different things. So it's great. And I've used it a ton. I kickstarted it forever ago. And
this was several years ago.
Yeah, and it's great. I've made a bunch of different maps with this program. So yeah, Dungeon Alchemist is amazing.
It's cool because you can export the maps that you make either as images or as looping video files that you mm-hmm. can then use on virtual tabletops, like a Foundry or maybe a Roll20. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
Roll20's
know specifically.
On there.
Yeah, they support that. Yeah, they support that. Your background maps, but it's incredibly cool. Well, we wanted to bring them up again because they, out of the blue, for free to those that own it, just released an update called Fun with Objects Part 1. And you might say, why is this cool? Well, it's
fun,
worth talking about again. Yeah, fun with objects. But apparently, they have said there was a demand for multi-level maps and roofs, because originally there's tons of variety in this map maker tool, but you only could do single levels, essentially. So now they have decided to just literally rewrite some of it from the ground up and allow height requirements and multiple level buildings. So now you can go underground, you can build upwards, they added realistic interior lighting, they added abstract lighting, a bunch of object improvements, and this is just the first part of it. And this is a huge deal because this was, I was looking at my Kickstarter, I marked this as received back in April of 2022.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a little over 3 years since they delivered this first version, and they are still working on this, still improving this, and there's a huge update. So we just wanted to shout it out because we have both used it. It's pretty incredible, especially if you are an online player and like to play online a lot. Or, heck, you can make the maps and go to your local FedEx or UPS store and just print them out, right? Your local printer. So
yeah,
there's a lot that you can do. There's a lot of really neat stuff you can make, and they are quick. They're very quick to make.
Yeah.
And, so and the thing is, just wanted to shout them out because that's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, they've supported it ever since. I mean, yeah, this is a big, huge rewrite and everything, but they're constantly adding like new themes and new items and things like that. And then also have the ability to kind of import your own stuff. If you're, you know, decent at 3D work, you can make your own stuff. But to give you an idea of how much I've used this program, I'm looking at my Steam, you know, playtime with it, and it's 46.7 hours. So I've spent a lot of time making maps with this. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, very, very cool. And like Ben just said, you can pick it up on Steam. Usually if you wait for a Steam sale as well, it will go on sale some too. So if that's sounds interesting, or if you're wanting a tool to quickly make exterior and interior maps with a lot of different settings and loadouts and options, definitely check this out. Yep. We can both personally recommend it.
And even right now, it as we're recording this, it is on sale for $35.99 on Steam, and offer ends July 24th. Then it goes back up to $44.99, the normal time or normal price.
Yeah, very worth it.
Yeah, very worth it. Very much so.
All right, moving on next. Here just recently, and I mean, this was technically teased and announced a little bit earlier, but the full reveal of the brand new D&D starter set called Heroes of the Borderlands was just released a week or so ago at this point. This thing is really interesting. It's releasing September 16th. So we've got a little over a month and a half until this thing drops. And what's really interesting about it is, well, one, it's the first starter set for the new 2024 mm-hmm. edition for 5.5. But it's also a starter set that is diverging a little bit from the previous starter sets, because like your Phandelver, Icespire Peak, and then the one with the blue dragon, the name is escaping me. Stormwreck Isle, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's something like right.
that. Those were all relatively cheap starter sets, you know, 15, 20, 30 bucks. They came with some dice, so usually some cards, maybe some pre-made stuff. This starter set is changing things a bit because it is going all out. And because of it's going all out, it actually has a price to match. So this is actually a $50 starter set. And so you may wonder what justifies a $50 starter set.
I mean,
and
to be fair, if you're looking at any of the new 2024 books, you know, those prices are a little hefty too, but I mean, you get just the book. With this, though, I mean, it's a box, and it's a box full of stuff. And before we even go into that, I just want to throw out there, $50 is definitely a chunk of change. But for the amount of time that you can kind of get out of this, I think that it's actually a pretty decent price.
Yeah. So they said they wanted this to be a starter set that you could basically just bring, drop, and play, and you'd have everything you needed. So the starter set, they say 40 to 60 hours of play featuring combat, exploration, and role-playing adventures. Obviously, that is very subjective. You may get less, you may get more out of it than that. There's a quick start guide to start playing in minutes, one play guide, and three adventure booklets for Dungeon Masters. 4 D&D classes to choose from, so Cleric, Rogue, Wizard, and Fighter. 200 game cards for background, species, spells, equipment, magic items, monsters, NPCs, and more. So a very card-based. And they've had a lot of, you know, like spell cards and stuff mm-hmm. for quite a while. But those things, especially if you're not playing digital, are very helpful to keep track of things and to have on you. So that's really cool.
Having something tangible is very good, especially with like gear and equipment and stuff.
Exactly. 18 maps, the Caves of Chaos Valley, the Keep on the Borderlands and the Wilderness. And this is pretty cool. 200 tokens, including resources, monsters, and terrain. as well as a combat tracker that teaches new dungeon masters how to track initiative effectively, and a set of 11 dice. So yeah, this is, it definitely sounds like they thought of basically everything that you could want as far as a pick up and play, bring the set over to someone's house and you're just ready to go. Pre-made characters, tokens, maps, a bunch of cards. Cause it, honestly, it is really fun to be able to hand people items.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh, look what you found. Here you go. And so, and like you said, without, especially if you're not paying digital, those types of things can help a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say that's one of the big things about not playing in person that I do miss is the fact that I can't just be like, hey, here's a letter that came, or here is your new item, or, you know, just anything about that, like being able to just kind of do that. The best I have right now in digital is just, hey, refresh your character page and then look in your inventory, which is not exactly, it doesn't hit the same. But with everything that's in here, I mean, the previous like boxes that they've had have been, you know, pretty decent and stuff, but this one really feels like it's hefty and has a lot to it. So I'm actually looking forward to, I mean, I'll probably be picking this up just to, you know, I mean, look at it, add more to my repertoire and stuff. Cause I mean, tokens and monsters and stuff like that are always really good to have. And then also, you know, you can always use more dice. But being able to, you know, just take this and, you know, plop it down somewhere and be like, hey, we're going to play some D&D right now, whether you like it or not. And then you're going to enjoy it and have a lot of fun. So it's kind of cool. And I love the fact that it looks like it's going to be a pretty decently long adventure as opposed to, you know, something that's, you know, just a quick, you know, kind of jump in, jump out sort of thing.
Yeah, I probably will get this as well. It's always nice to have like a pick up and play type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I want to check, you know, reviews out and we'll have a look. But at the same time, I do like these types of starter sets that are just kind of all inclusive, all in one. I can bring it to my game store and run it. I talked about my friendly local game store has a big RPG weekend that's coming up in a few months, something like this, where we, that weekend, people just run tons of learner games for all sorts of systems. Something like this would be perfect.
Definitely.
For that in-person, you know, learn to play, that sort of thing. So, very excited to check it out.
Yeah, I'm
all, I mean, right.
September is pretty close, so get your hands on it. Pre-order now if you can to make sure you snag it right away. I, you know, on D&D Beyond, there's also the Ultimate Bundle that you get all the stuff digitally as well. So, you know, if you're able to save some money, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, I'm very glad they are at the very least doing the physical digital combos so that the double dipping is not quite as bad as it was before.
Yeah, it was definitely not a fun time.
All right, so with that out of the way, let's jump into our main topic tonight. And we kind of alluded to this a few episodes back when we were talking about allies and backgrounds and your stories. And one of the things that we were talking about after the episode was, you know, it'd be really interesting to talk about when you come into conflict with or fight good creatures. Because obviously, if you take your monster manual and you have a flip through, there's a lot of like evil monsters. So there's a lot of like neutralish monsters that may not necessarily have a high degree of sentience or something like that, that are just going to attack you because you equal food, right?
Mm, exactly.
But there's also a fairly large amount of good aligned creatures that do have like sentience. And they all have stat blocks. And sometimes, especially when I started looking through the stuff first, when I started playing, I was like, why is there stat blocks for all these good guys? Why would you fight them? Like, what are they there for? Unless it's just to be like used as NPCs, which obviously that is an option. It is nice if you need an ally. A good aligned creature is obviously a good choice, and being able to have that stat block if they are helping or participating in a combat with your group can be very useful. There's, I mean, some of the most obvious ones, metallic dragons, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's stat blocks for all of them. Like, there's 15 plus stat blocks with all the dragons and their ages. Like, why go to the use of making all these things if these are the good guys, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so,
and I mean,
and so, go ahead, Ben.
There is always the possibility of like, oh, we're going to play an evil party. It's like, okay, well, then, yeah, you're going to be fighting, I'm assuming, other evil characters, as well as, you know, maybe some good monsters and you know, creatures that you come across and everything. I mean, heck, just going to the Feywild alone, you have loads of just all over different, you know, spectrums for alignment and stuff like that. But using them in kind of more of a fun, creative way is the thing that we're really looking for today, you know, as opposed to just being the complete opposite spectrum of alignment. You know, if you want your heroes to come across a silver dragon and you want to have some fun with the silver dragon and have them fight, you got to have a reason for that.
Yeah. And so we were talking about what might be the best ways to actually have your party come into conflict with good creatures. And so the first thing that came to mind for me is that being good does not always mean that your definition of good is going to line up with someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
We see this all the time in like the lawful good or whatever, right? Where it's just like, I am good, I am protecting people, but I am following the law to the letter.
Yes.
And even when that law could potentially hurt someone else or comes into conflict with maybe a moral quandary or some other big decision that you or your party has to make, then conflict can arise from the, well, it doesn't matter if XYZ is the case. This is the law. And so there can be that can be a very great way to bring about conflict. And I've always thought that moral type decisions or quandaries are always far more interesting than maybe the cut and dry, you're evil, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Heck, the entire plot of Les Miserables might not exist if it wasn't for a lawful good, quote unquote, character. And it's one of those things where, you know, it could be something as simple as, you know, your rogue is stealing food to, you know, feed their family, or, you know, some orphan kids on the streets or something along those lines. And suddenly you have city guards who are going after you. I mean, this is definitely an entirely different scenario than, oh, my players are murder hobos and they just killed the shopkeeper. No, that's not the kind of guard thing you're doing. But take that sort of like moral bit and level it up into, you know, some of these fantastical creatures, whether they're dragons or like celestials or something along those lines. In fact, have your characters travel to a different plane. Mount Celestia is not like the justice one. I forget exactly which one is the justice one of the higher planes. But, you know, have them go there for some reason and, I mean, throw some moral quandaries at them. I mean, heck, use the Star Trek The Next Generation episode where Wesley, you know, falls into the garden and he's going to be put to death as, you know, some sort of plot hook or something. But yeah, lawful good isn't exactly always the best thing that you can do because it is to the extreme with no exceptions whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's one of those things too, where you may come into conflict with a good character because even though they're good, they might have their own agenda and not necessarily care about your current struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are, I think Celestials is a great thing. That's, you know, your petty evil or your petty problems are fine. I'm not going to deal with them though, because I have higher purpose, or I'm dealing with bigger things, and conflict can arise with that, especially if it ends up really affecting the party or a situation or maybe someone they know. It can be a big deal. Mm-hmm. So any of that lawful good type stuff, very good for very interesting conflict.
Yes.
Another thing potentially is a good creature or a good guy is either tricked or controlled. And these can also make for really interesting things. Like let's use the example of a dragon, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bad guy convinces the gold dragon or the silver dragon that XYZ town or XYZ keep is harboring just all sorts of evil or all sorts of terrible things that could now spread into their domain.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously that's not true, but somehow this dragon has been convinced and doesn't know or doesn't care necessarily. They're just going to stomp out the evil. Unfortunately, you and your party are there. The dragon starts attacking and there's not a lot of time for discussion. There's your conflict right there. And that may be a time when you then battle and at the very least weaken this dragon so that you can then talk to him and go, why are you doing this? Stop. Like, this is wrong, or this is the wrong place, or you've been tricked. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so having something like that, because remember, not all fights need to be to the death. As the DM, when your creatures are getting weakened, especially in this type of situation that I'm describing, start letting your players know, oh, it's weakening. Oh, you might have a chance. You might have a chance to kind of interpose yourselves or have a chance to negotiate or something like that. And you can have a very, very interesting story based on just the good creature. It, like, this miscommunication, misinformation was lied to, was tricked, was controlled.
Yeah. It opens up those chances of like role playing as well. How, you said not everything needs to end with, you know, a creature's death. You know, this gives you a chance to kind of get in there, roll some of those, you know, other like really high charisma based abilities that say, you know, maybe your bard or your warlock or something is using. But, you know, it gives you more flexibility on what you can do story wise in the game. You know, is this something that is a creature that is, you know, too stupid to see the truth? Is it something that you want to convince them and then, you know, the party gains an ally? Or moving on to another point, is this creature something that's been corrupted? One of the easiest things to do with any sort of creature is to say, oh, I don't care about the alignment. I'm using it in this combat. And everything that is, you know, kind of like good aligned or, you know, whether it's neutral or chaotic or lawful or anything like that, you can just erase that and change it into something entirely different. You know, what happens when the cult of the dragon, you know, that worships Tiamat steals a copper dragon's egg and it's raised under them and their beliefs. It's not going to be the lawful good, you know, copper dragon character who loves, you know, people and has giggling magic. It'll still have giggling magic, but I'm liking it more to like Tasha's hideous laughter, where it's like painful and
Joker.
And, yeah, it's smiley.
Oh God, that's messed up.
Yeah. Oh, totally. But that also plays into like, you know, kind of the mind control. You know, they could be possessed by something. There's, you know, a lot of different ways to kind of, you know, look at that alignment, change it, or have them, you know. This is kind of going back to the lawful version, have them like twist and pervert that sort of level of law or goodness that they think that, yeah, this is a good thing to do. It's the greater good for everybody. I need to wipe out that entire continent and start over because it has just become so bad and corrupt. This is going to be good for humans and animals and the forest and stuff going forward. You know, it's like take any belief to an extreme and it is not a good thing for anybody.
Yeah, I like that. I actually like that a lot. Like it's good taken to the extreme,
mm-hmm.
or someone's version of good taken to the extreme.
Oh, right? Yeah, because they are the hero in their story, of course. And so what they're doing is obviously right and the right thing to do because they know better than anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very good. Another really good way to be able to engage in conflict or combat with good creatures is tests and trials.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So this is usually there are so many examples of this littered throughout probably the just pre-written adventures, actual plays. I mean, one of the things that comes to mind is when in Critical Role season one, when Grog fights the monk, the yes. crazy, I cannot remember. Stonebreaker, Stonefist, something like that. Gruul, yeah. Yeah, we know we're on the same page. We know what we're talking about. But that's a great example. This is not a bad guy at all. But this is a guy who wants to test Grog and test his limits and test his resolve. And so he engages in combat with him. And it's an incredibly well done, well acted piece of story. From that section of Critical Role. And I really, really like that. And you could do that with so many others. They did that with the Sphinx. Mm-hmm. That was another one. Like Sphinx wasn't bad, but the Sphinx was testing them to see if they were worthy.
Totally did that exact same thing in my game.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the dragons are great to use with that. We mentioned Sphinx. Sphinxes can also be really, really good for using for that type of, it just kind of fits their characters mm-hmm. along with the dragons, the testing, the trials, trying to make sure someone is worthy or someone can stand up to the challenge or someone has the mental fortitude or someone can make the hard choices. And these good creatures are engaging with you or your party to help find that out.
Earthbreaker.
So there's a lot of
Gruun, by the way.
Earthbreaker Gruun. Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, there's a lot of really cool ways that you could work that in. It could just be a test of champions, right? Mm-hmm. It could just be we will fight with you, but only if you prove that you can beat our champion, right? Yeah. They're not bad guys, but you can take then good aligned creatures, good aligned stat blocks that you might not get to use very often. Cause many of them are very cool and
so cool.
Have that play out, for your party. And, it gives you a lot of flexibility to use a lot of these things that you just don't get to dive into very often.
Yeah. And I mix that, proving worth, with this next one, which is guarding some sort of ancient relic. I'm pretty sure I talked about it on the show. It was a Sphinx of Valor and then two Planetars. So it was a pretty hefty fight. And I'll tell you, Planetars are awesome with flaming swords, and it was a lot of fun to play. But you know, basically they were stationed there to guard this relic, and it's a very important relic. In this case, you know, they were tested to prove their worthiness and everything to make sure that, you know, they could take it. They would be able to protect it if they, you know, had it and everything like that. But you can always have it where, you know, this good aligned creature is protecting this thing no matter what, no matter what story you tell, no matter what, you know, reason you have to get this. You know, the ultimate evil could be back, and they even know who that ultimate evil is. But no matter what, this relic can't be taken, even if it's used against them, because, you know, it could fall into the wrong hands. They've been tasked to keep it safe, to keep it secret, to make sure no one gets it because it's too dangerous, or anything like that. Or maybe it's sacred knowledge of some sort. You know, maybe there's a some sort of new, I don't know, raised life spell or something that turns out it gives someone immortality, and it's used in the best of intentions, but you can't use it because then everybody's immortal. Then, of course, you know, the world goes to hell for that. You know, I don't know, just something that's important that needs to be guarded. There's a ton of different types of character or creatures that you can use that too.
Yeah. I really like that, because that's a very common occurrence, especially obviously your characters right now are going through and finding all these relics, right? Mm-hmm. And such. It doesn't mean that an evil creature is hoarding it at its lair.
Just be a guardian. Also happening, but
yes, but that doesn't have to be the only thing. There might be a guardian who is just like, you can have it if you can beat me.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have no like ill will against you. I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you, but if you come and try and get it, I will shut you down. So you're going to have to get through me type thing.
My entire purpose in life is keep away. So see how you do.
Yeah. But yeah, there's lots of incredibly interesting ways to be able to use some of these really good aligned, neutral aligned, lawful good creatures that can allow you to tell very interesting stories that are not just straight up like good versus evil, and enter that moral gray area. Add some spice to your campaigns.
Yeah. Good versus good is really interesting. Just like, you know what, maybe at some point we're going to talk about evil versus evil and having your players stumble across some sort of, turf battle in the Nine Hells. That could be a really interesting, intriguing thing happening. So, you know, mixing up that whole classic good versus evil thing adds, you know, another layer of depth to your world, but even more so to storytelling and the fun that your players will have.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'd love to hear if you used a good aligned character or monster against your party. If you did it in one of the ways we talked about, or heck, if you did it in a completely different way, we'd absolutely love to hear about it. As Ben said, he's done it in his campaign. I've done it in my campaign before. I've done it with dragons. That's honestly one of the funnest things to do it with, because I just don't get to use the metallic dragon stat blocks very often. And they're pretty
really
fun.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah, they have two breath weapons. Like they're just really cool. So yeah, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah. On top of that, Oh, just one other thing. Another chaotic good creature that you don't use a lot. Genies.
Oh, yes.
They have wishes. That's all.
Yeah. No, Jin are good. That's a really good. I'm just trying to think of if there was any other like really interesting, good aligned. Obviously, Celestials. There's not enough Celestials.
Oh, yeah. Different types of like Storm Giants are usually, you know, good aligned. Yeah, there's
Cloud Giants.
Cloud Giants, definitely. Maybe. I mean, yeah, there's basically on D&D Beyond, there are 13 pages of good aligned monsters. So you're going to find something for whatever you need. And like I said, there's a good number of Fae in there too. So
yes, Fae. Yeah. Fae are really good because they're also I'm not necessarily good, but I'm not necessarily bad.
Yeah.
Type things so
self-serving.
Well. Mm-hmm.
It's great.
There's all sorts of story hooks you can use with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. This whole conversation inspired me to go back and look through and like locate the good aligned stuff and go, I've never thought about using that. Oh, that could be interesting. Oh, where could I put that?
Yeah, exactly. And no, I mean,
there's a whole huge amount.
Having your players stumble across them, you never know what'll happen. Because I mean, if they're not really familiar with the world and they stumble across a copper dragon, are they going to be like dragon and fight it? Who knows? Maybe one's been hanging out in the forest and has been rolling around in the grass and his scales are kind of stained green a little bit. I mean,
you have the shoot first, ask questions later party.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to dragons, it's possible. You never know.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's move on, Ben, to our community shout outs this week.
Yeah.
We've got a few interesting ones, not necessarily D&D related this time around, but they're, I noticed this on Blue Sky and I thought it was really interesting because I have not gotten to play before and I've always wanted to play a superhero RPG. There's a few. There's the Marvel Multiverse one. I believe that one's actually got digital tools on Demiplane. But there's also Mutants and Masterminds. And that's by Green Ronin Publishing. And right now they're actually making a new edition of Mutants and Masterminds. Apparently there's going to be an origin playtest edition of the new edition that will be releasing in PDF at the end of the month with a limited print run coming to Gen Con, which is coming up real soon. So it is a D20 based game system meant to be used with any level of superhero story from street level to cosmic powered heroes. And so, like I said, there's that one. There's the Marvel Multiverse one. There's the Sentinel Comics RPG. But yeah, I thought this is kind of cool because I've always wanted to really get into a superhero RPG because it scratches a different itch.
Yes.
Than D&D does.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be keeping my eye on this one and may go in. On getting it when the new edition is released, just to kind of start thinking about or playing around with on the side. Because superheroes are cool.
Yeah, plus it's super easy to fight other heroes in a superhero thing because you fight and then you team up to fight the actual bad guy. That's how that works. So, you know, it's still totally on topic with what we were talking about before.
Yeah. And as an aside, go see Superman. It's really good. Talking to you, Ben.
I know. I'm going to see it hopefully soon. Very, very soon. We'll see.
Good superheroes. Superheroes on the mind. All the superheroes. And then the other thing, and this was just kind of an interesting piece of news. It's been kind of being teased for years now. But Critical Role officially announced that they are going to be teaming up with a indie studio called Ad Hoc Studios to make a video game of the Critical Role property. And that's pretty cool. I know there's a huge fandom out there for Critical Role. The team that they're working with is currently working on the upcoming game called Dispatch, which, Ben, I don't know if you got to play the demo of that during the Steam Fest.
No
idea.
It's
basically it's a superhero game.
Oh,
you know, just continuing our theme, where basically you play this washed out superhero guy and you are now working at this dispatch organization, dispatching other superheroes to deal with different crimes or events or whatever.
That's kind of cool.
But it's like the group of misfits type thing. It's very, if you've played like any of the Telltale games, Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead, it seems to be very much that sort of game or that style, very story heavy, story based. Not necessarily that will be what the Critical Role game ends up being, but that's what Dispatch is. And I could see, you know, their world fitting very well into a type of game like that, if that's the direction they choose.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the biggest things about like the cast and support of Critical Role and everything is they're very much into characters and creation, and, you know, having something that is very story driven is definitely something completely in their alley. So I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah, so I will definitely be keeping my eye on that one for sure. And with that, I think that pretty much brings us to the end of our episode. Of course, we usually like to talk a little bit about what we've been playing. Ben, I believe you got to do a really cool one shot recently.
Yeah. So
can we hear about that?
Yeah. Yeah. This is, it was at, my local, game store, Silver Dragon Games. Again, shout out to them because they are amazing. But they did a Christmas in July D&D game day, and I take that back. It wasn't D&D Game Boy. It was a Christmas in July. Like just, they had like maybe five or six different tables for like, you know, just a 4-hour chunk. And, Nevermore saw that they posted that it was going to happen, and like the signups had just opened, and I looked and there was this diehard themed Christmas in July game. And immediately I'm like, we need to play in this one. And she read it. And she said, yes, yes, we do. So we signed up, first people in that one, super excited. So, the idea is that, Santa was holding his Christmas in July celebration or whatever for all the elves. So everybody played an elf except for one who played an orc who was a plus one into the party. And so, you know, it's like the holiday company party and everything. And then all of these other elves came in, crashed the party and kidnapped Santa. And they were going to take his Yuletide power. And these were the elves that were the ones who were tasked with making the toys and like the toy pits and stuff like that, which is actually the rehabilitation for people or for elves who had done like horrible things and stuff. So like this was, you know, like their punishment was to build all the toys and everything. So I'm like, that's a good thing. We definitely needed that kind of spelled out to us, because as we started kind of talking to them and interrogating them, like, what's the plan? What's going on? They're like, yeah, we're stuck in the pits and everything. And we're just like, are we the bad guys? And no, they definitely were the bad guys. They had done horrible things. So we're like, good. But yeah, so then we had to kind of, you know, sneak up the building and ended up getting to the roof where Santa was being held, and like this energy was being sucked out of him and going into Franz Ruber, which was the bad elf, which is a lot of fun. And then we got up there like, okay, let's take care of this. And then Franz turned into a giant dragon. So we got to fight a dragon too. And it was just a lot of fun, you know, like, you know, loosely Die Hard themed and stuff, but, it was a blast and we really enjoyed ourselves. what was great though is at the very beginning, like when we got there, everybody got to see Santa and ask for something for Christmas. And then we got to pull a mystery thing out of a bag. And it was like, you know, a buff of some sort or an item or something like that.
Oh, that's fun.
And then we also got to spin the wheel for a prize and, you know, do the same thing. So everybody got like two different, you know, surprise items or buffs or whatever. And then, yeah, we kind of traded here and there, mix and matched for, you know, whatever kit worked well with our character and stuff. And it ended up being a lot of fun. So I really enjoyed it. And it's one of the reasons why I love going to that place, because every single one, like, you know, one shot or D&D game day or whatever that we've done there has been just a ton of fun playing with some great people.
I honestly wish every person a loving, welcoming, inclusive, friendly local game store near you.
Oh yeah. It's absolutely fantastic.
You're wonderful.
I love this place. And I mean, talk about inclusive and everything like that. The owner sticks to his guns of, hey, we don't, you know, disparage anybody around here. And if you do, you're out. Like that's it. So very happy with that place.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It yeah, like the game overall was, and of course the environment there is always great too. So how about you? Did you get a chance to play at all?
I have not gotten to play anything as of yet. I am excited because I just scheduled my first session back after our hiatus for my main campaign. So we're gonna be starting back late August. Once kind of summer stuff is over and everyone gets back into the groove.
Good.
I cannot tell you how pumped I am to get back to that game. That is going to be incredible. One thing I am looking forward to that's a little sooner, though, is I'm going to be playing a Stormlight Archive one shot here this upcoming weekend. This is the new system by Brotherwise Games. It's going to be, I believe there's a big Kickstarter for it. I believe that the PDFs, like the full ones, are going to be dropping here really soon. If you did that, and I would think they'll be available to, you know, purchase directly as well as the physical items are going to be coming in the next few months too. But the person who's running it is a huge Sanderson fan, as am I, and has like the beta rules, and might even have the real ones by the time we play, but we're going to be running just kind of like a one shot with, several friends. And, I'm excited to try the system out, especially because I really love the world. I love the books. And so, it will be very different yet familiar.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So I'm excited to try it out and report back.
Very cool. I look forward to hearing about it, and especially yay new system.
Yeah. I love trying new systems whenever I get the chance. It's always very interesting because at the end of the day, usually every system has something cool that you can then take lessons from and bring back to whatever system you are playing personally. Yeah. And that's what I really love.
All right.
I really love. But more on that next episode. And until then, I think that's going to be our show for this evening. So Ben, before we go, why don't you tell everyone where we can be reached?
You bet. Best place to find us for everything, because that's where links and stuff are, is online at dndiscussions.com. You can find every single episode we've ever had there, as well as links to all of our socials. And those socials would be, of course, on Blue Sky. You can find D&D Discussions at D&D Discussions. You can find Ryan. He is at TBK Zord. And you can find me. I am at Ben Bumhofer. So, you know, feel free to reach out there. We'd love talking to you and everything on Blue Sky. Plus, you'll be able to know when things are actually popping up, like new episodes and whatnot. But another place to find that is going to be on our Discord. That's right. There's a link to our Discord on dndiscussions.com as well. There you can find, you know, discourse, talking with people, talking about, you know, RPGs, games, the show, you know, whatever. We have a lot of fun. There's a lot of great people in our community. So, you know, hop on in, say hi, and introduce yourself. If you don't like the idea of, you know, having your comments or questions or, you know, super high praise for how much you love this show, you know, out in the open, you can always email us. Send those emails to dndiscussions@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you there. Now, if you've listened to this entire episode and you're like, these guys don't know what they're talking about, I bet they don't even play Dungeons & Dragons. Well, guess what? There is actual proof of me playing on a podcast called Plus Five to Hit. It is an actual play show. We're very early into our third campaign here, so check it out and, you know, find out what it sounds like when I play semi-intelligent barbarian. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, check that out. But aside from that, again, dndiscussions.com. You can find everything there. And with that, everybody, thank you very much for listening to this episode. If you like it, let us know. You know, leave reviews, all that fun stuff. And, you know, we appreciate all the support you always send. Yeah. Ryan, thanks for joining me. Love talking to you about all this fun stuff.
Always a pleasure.
Yep. Brightens up the day. So I appreciate it. And aside from that, everybody, roll high and be good to each other.
Take care, and we'll see you soon.